that we were planning on continuing that way. And the interesting thing was that this was the date when we had planned on originally coming back into the sanctuary. And I guess God said, you got it right the first time. So here we are. When I was growing up, the two brothers closest to me in age were fraternal twins. Mark and Steve were born 10 minutes apart, 2.5 years before I was. Mom was in her 40s when I was born, so you can imagine she had her hands full, to say the least. But people often talk about a special bond between twins, how they can somehow seem to read each other's minds, instinctively know if something's going on with the other. And while it might not be easy to kind of systematically sort that out, what's happening there, I can definitely attest to a bond between my two brothers. I found it out the hard way. The lesson I learned was that when I would get in a fight with one of them and I'd start to get, oh my goodness. Guys, I'm sorry again. I unmuted you. I muted myself. Here we go. Are you still with us there online? Paige, be sure to let me know if I haven't, if I need to unmute. Okay, there we go. So to catch up, guys, I was mentioning about twins and this bond that they have between them. And I grew up with twin brothers and how I found out the hard way. Whenever I'd get in a fight with them, and what would happen was whenever I'd start to get the upper hand, then suddenly I'd find myself in a fight with two. And that just was difficult to deal with. And I have to admit, I really didn't appreciate that kind of unity at the time. But now that I'm a little older, there's something admirable about it. United we stand, divided you know. But God certainly wants his children, his church, to live in peace and to have unity with each other, a unity in the Spirit that encourages us and comforts us. This is the very thing that Jesus prayed for in the longest prayer in the New Testament. And I think we don't give that enough attention. This is a unity that isn't just the absence of conflict. This is something that goes so much deeper. It's so much better. And Paul referred to it when he wrote to the church in Ephesus from prison. And we're going to read about that in a moment in the 4th chapter of Ephesus, verses 1 through 6. And after we read it, then please reflect on it, maybe read through it again, or pray as Jarek plays. And then after that, hang on, because what we're going to do is we're going to work our way through the text backwards so that we end with verse 1. Here we go, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let's pray that God will move these words to our hearts. I love that hymn. That's The Love of God. We sang it recently. It's a beautifully written hymn. I encourage you to look up the lyrics to it. But if you and I were to ask the question, what does Jesus want of me? What does Jesus want of me? I think you could sum it up with one word. One word. And that word is love. Now, there is a lot in that word. It's love for Him, love for God, that shows itself in love for others. Love for God that shows itself in obedience to Him and to His word, and works itself out in serving and humbly serving others. That's the way Jesus summed up the two most important commandments when He was asked about it. But the important thing is that this love isn't something that we put on or that we manufacture. We have to get it from God. Jesus' prayer that I mentioned earlier is from John 17. And listen to the way He prays about it. This is John 17, verse 23. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. There are some connections there that are really important to make. This is love that comes through time spent in Jesus' presence and an awareness that He dwells within us. So it's love that happens as we nurture our relationship with Him. If we know He truly loves us, then we also know that He enables us to love. And Jesus said that others will see His love in us, and then they'll know who He is, the very Son of God sent to set us free. And so Paul writes in our verses for today, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. We get our love from one place, from Him. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one love. In John 13:35, Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The love in our hearts then is directly related to our closeness to Him. I know that's something that you would expect a preacher to say, but don't we also have to ask, do I know that? Do I live that? Is that the kind of love that is at work in me, challenging me at times? Certainly. But helping me to go the distance when others get on my nerves? Helping me to serve without thinking about myself and what may happen in return? Is the love of Jesus truly at work in me? Let's pause for a moment and ponder that, especially in these times that we live in that are so marked by a lack of love. While Jarek plays, let's ask Jesus to fill us with more of Himself, more of His Spirit, in such a way that our relationship with Him shows up on the outside. Because the truth is, if you don't have love on the outside, it's a little like the man who told me when I was called to preach, we were at a community event, and there were a number of preachers up front, and we had to go whenever, and the guy who was supposed to go before me didn't show up, and there was a black pastor who was seated right beside me, and he had just sat down, and I was looking at my notes realizing I had to go, and he looked at me and he said, "If you ain't got it now, you ain't got it." And I thought, you know what? That's right. I mean, it's either here or it isn't. Let's ponder that. Pause for a moment. And again, ask Jesus to fill us with more of himself, more of his love. Will Jerry plays. The lyrics to that hymn, thank you, Jerry, that was beautiful. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. Let's go back to our text and look at verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And that bond is the bond of peace that we have with God through Jesus. So again, it's all about relationship. God has forgiven us of our sins and removed the dividing wall between us that they have caused. And he gives us new life and new hope entirely through his Son. And this is such an important message for us to take to heart as we navigate these waters of COVID-19. Because there are so many people who are so frightened, and they may be thinking about their mortality for the first time in a long time. And there is hope that Jesus gives us in these days. You know, again, I mentioned this is the first time in 6 months that we've been back in the sanctuary. And some are able to worship here in person, and others are not able to take the risk yet for good reason. And it's in times like this that we need to be sure that we're still reaching out to each other, calling each other, checking in, staying in prayer, understanding that each one is simply trying to do their best according to their own personal needs as God leads them. And Paul's advice in Ephesians 4:2 is so practical and appropriate for all of us in this. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know, when you have a name for a church like Peace, it's a challenge. And we knew that when we first planted this church. And one of the things that we made sure that we did was in our core values and our approach, you know, as members join the church, we set out these conflict resolution approaches. And you may remember what those are. If you have a difference with someone, the first thing that you do is you examine yourself. Jesus said, take the log out of your own eye, right? And then you consider whether, I mean, if it is a genuine offense, if it is an offense worth overlooking. Scripture says in Proverbs, it's to a person's glory to overlook an offense. And we don't want to be those people who are so easily offended, do we? And then the third thing is that if it's something that's not worth overlooking, then you go directly to that person per Jesus' advice. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go directly to that person. Because if you don't, we in the leadership of the church will call you on it. And that's really important. And the beautiful thing is that as we have tried to plug this into the life of the church, it has really helped us live at peace and love. But you know what's really helped us most of all? Prayer. Because a praying church is a loving church. When Jesus is in the room and you are calling on him, he gives you a love for each other, sometimes that you cannot understand. And we have learned this because as a church, we were a great example of how not to plant one. We were a core group, cold start, that is, without a mother. And yet God in his grace has blessed us and gotten us through. And this is because of the presence of his Spirit in love, in answer to prayer. So there's so much more here than unity for unity's sake. This is unity that is the love that flows within because of Jesus, regardless of our age or income or career or color or anything else. And again, this is love that we either have in our hearts because he is in our hearts, or we don't. But sometimes this kind of love isn't easy, is it? A month back, my son Jeff and I were interviewed for a podcast by the Parents Network about how we navigated the difficult waters when Jeff was addicted and honestly causing a lot of pain in our family. And one of the things that caught me was when Jeff was asked what he would have done if we had cut him off at that time. And he said, honestly, I don't think I'd be here right now. I would have lost myself in drugs and overdosed. And one of the hard lessons of that time was that though we were practicing what some might call tough love, what we learned was that love also had to be tough on us as well. We had seen other parents sometimes essentially say to their kids, you know, when you get this worked out, then you can come back. But right now, I'm going to hold you at arm's length. And well, we understand that boundaries are necessary, and we certainly had to have them. We also understood that God was at times pressing us forward to love beyond what we initially felt we could do. That's what the love of Jesus does, right? It will draw us out. It will draw us out in our relationships. When you may have good reason to be angry about something, but God says, wait a minute, didn't you just pray the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And to do this, to get this kind of love and function in this, we have to cling to Jesus, letting His Spirit in, letting Him into the moments, even and especially the raw moments, so that He can help us most of all. Sometimes in spite of the hurt and destruction and disappointment, but some of you were so helpful as we walked that road because you had already been down it. And you encouraged us to take those steps. And there was a feeling that, okay, we can do this. And again, this is part of the unity of the church. This is why we are so much better together. Because the Spirit of God moves in us as we pray for each other and care for each other. This is the kind of love that makes such a difference in our homes and in our relationships, because it is love in its purest and highest form. Yesterday at Adam and Lakeland's wedding, we mentioned 1 Corinthians 13 that you read at a number of weddings, but one of the things that you usually don't hear mentioned is that was a passage that was written to a fighting church. And it's really true. That's why Paul is saying love is patient. Love is kind. It's not easily angered. It's not proud. It does not boast. It keeps no record of wrong. This is love that is so much more than just something you feel. This is love that is an act of the will, that looks at the situation, that surveys it and says, I will walk this road. I will love. That is the love Jesus showed us at the cross. That is the love He calls us to grow in, as He calls us to take up our cross and follow Him. And as challenging as that is, the beautiful thing is that we can do this. We can love like this, not in our strength, but in His. And to know Him is to know love. And He will empower us to do it. But again, we have to cling. The last verse, verse 1, Paul writes, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Notice that last part. Worthy of the calling you have received. That worthiness works itself out in love. And remember, Paul is writing this as a prisoner. He misses the fellowship of the church. And he sees the difference in the world around him. This is what sets us apart. And it also binds us together wherever we are. So Paul pleaded for the church to have this kind of love. And he pleaded for their prayers for each other, knowing that that's how that love moved among them so powerfully. You know how that is when you pray for someone. So often, you know, I remember when I was in seminary, there was a professor that had this habit of berating students. And I was one of his favorites, so it really didn't happen too much to me. But I always thought, that's a little harsh. Until one day it did. And in front of the whole class, a large class, he read me up one side and down the other. A number of students approached me afterwards and said, man, that was so wrong. And I hated him for it. You see, in my natural self, I can do that. I can do that more easily than perhaps I'd like to admit. It's one of the things that God has been working with me all of my life on. But I knew it wasn't right. And every time I'd pray, you know, there'd be that conviction, come on, don't stay stuck there. And one day, as God is working on me, I see this professor who's walking across the lawn there at Princeton, and from where he gets from one end to the other of this lawn at this hall, my whole heart toward him changed. And I knew that it was the work of God in my spirit through the power of Jesus as I just lived the situation prayerfully before him. And one of my fondest memories from seminary is at the very end, the very last day, after graduation, after baccalaureate, that man runs across the same lawn to me and breathlessly says, James, if you ever need a reference for anything. Andrew Brunson, when he was in Turkey, had one request: pray for me. His wife, when she would visit after 2 years, his question was, is someone praying for me? One of the reasons I believe we've seen so much division in the church, not at peace, praise God for that, but so much division in the church and the world at large, is that every church prays, but there are very few praying churches. And when we truly pray, seeking the Lord's presence, letting him in, oh, things change. So keep it up, church. Keep loving. Keep praying. Keep serving each other. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. As the old children's song some of us used to sing says, and it's a verse, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7 and 8. May we pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that when we were unlovable, you met us. Thank you for the unity you have blessed us with as the body of Christ. Lord, we pray your blessing on every church worshiping in our city and in our world today that exalts you, our beautiful Savior, and that is true to your word. Lord, thank you that you empower us to love. And if it's been a while since you felt like you could love, remember, Jesus is love. As I'm praying, I'm talking to you who are listening at the same time. Don't miss this opportunity to ask for God's help. Because believe me, I am one who knows how desperately I need it. but to say, yes, Lord, come in. Come in. Fill me with your Spirit. As a Christmas hymn says, cast out our sin and enter in. Oh, Lord, thank you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And you are also the love of our eternal lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.